Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. You know, it's almost kind of funny that it might seem like it's a prerequisite for anyone who comes on the Sounds of Christmas podcast that they have some Halloween music in addition to Christmas music. And that's not the case, but it seems to be working out that way. Michael Sinatra is with us today. And if you were listening to the Halloween music in October, you probably heard his version of Witchcraft. Thanks for joining us again, Michael.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. And I had a great time last time and before and excited. Yes, Witchcraft. Oh, that was great. That was really cool. Like a spooky vibe with the vibraphone and a little percussion. And thank you so much for having that on the Sounds of Halloween.
You're very welcome. It's kind of amazing to me how many singers and musicians that have been on this podcast have also had a spooky song somewhere along the way that we played, whether I was aware of it before or they pointed it out to me, and it was something that we were probably playing anyway. It's just kind of funny how that worked out. This is the third time that you've been on the podcast this year. We've been doing a series about making a Christmas album. And I want to kind of rehash a little bit to bring everybody up to speed in case this is the first time that they are listening to this podcast with you on there. And I don't want to say something and go, well, if you want to know about that, go back and find part one or part two. So forgive these questions that you've heard before, but let's start with that you have a very famous name. And I'm sure everybody who has seen this and doesn't know you sees Michael Sinatra and they think, wow, now is this Frank's son or grandson or how is he connected? So, and I'm sure you get that a lot. So how are you connected or are you?
I'll just leave that to your imagination. I'm not directly connected to the family, but you never know. Maybe somewhere down the line, my grandfather was a musician, and you never know, he could be a distant cousin.
I would imagine that that's probably one of the first things almost anybody asks you, isn't it?
Oh yeah, ever since I was a little kid, but more when I became a singer entertainer.
I'm sure, and the music that you're drawn to, that you obviously have a great love for and that you have recorded a lot of, is a lot of the music that people would associate with Frank.
Yes, Ken, I grew up my parents were both musicians. That's how they met. And my dad was a drummer and a big band drummer and an orchestra percussionist. My mom played the cello. And I grew up playing in, you know, high school and middle school bands, and as well as a drummer. So I was behind the scenes, playing at concerts, the marching band and jazz combos and et cetera.
And with a big musical background, you just had a love for really the classic, the standards that we all know and love.
Yeah. So I grew up, and that's all my dad would play and my mom would play. And just it was just beaten into me. I was younger. I didn't, you know, when you're young, you know, that kind of music, you know, you just want to hear what, you know. I grew up in the, pretty much went to high school in the 90s. So I just wanted to hear like Metallica and, you know, just the current stuff when you were younger. But I learned to appreciate it later on and began to love it. And now I have all my dad's old records and CDs, et cetera.
That love of that era of music is really evident in so much of what you've released this year. You released an album called Standards and then an EP just this past fall called Standards 2, where there are a lot of these great classic songs.
Unfortunately, I had the time where I was able to catch up on all these projects I started back in 2019. I was just on paper. And now that we had all the time, I was able to start recording and then figuring out how we're going to make it work. Since we couldn't bring people into the studio, I was able to use this format and branch out online and hire musicians and collect them all over the world and able to contribute their talents on the albums.
There's so much of this great music from that era that we talk about when we say standards. And you've got the first album, which I think had 15 songs on it, the Standards album, and then Standards 2 had another 5 or 6. And there's so much more. I kind of have to ask if there's going to be a Standards 3, 4, 5.
I think I'm going to finish. So I did do a Standards 2, and that was an EP, and that is going to be part of a full album coming out next year. And then I got to finish a full album. I did release Christmas, but that I had so many songs ready for that album. I was only able to complete 7, and I want to be able to release. So I'll release like a deluxe edition next year. I'm going to take a break because there's just so much recording. I just want to get out there and start performing again. I'm performing now, mostly private events all over, but I just want to get back out there and just take a break from recording just for a little bit after next year.
So with Standards 2, which is where you can find Witchcraft, and with the Christmas EP that just came out, both of those were to be bigger works, and it just didn't quite work out that way in time to be released this year?
With relocating out of state to Las Vegas and moving and everything else going on, I couldn't make everything I wanted to happen. I did the best I could, but you know, I got 4 kids and everything's just, it's the schedule. It's just so busy.
And even with all that, you still put out the Standards album and you put out 2 EPs, which ain't bad.
Yeah, I was, you know, looking back at it, because a lot of that music was started in 2019, it just spilled over into 2020 and then spilled over into 2021. And I can't remember when I started. I think I started singing Christmas, and yeah, some of the Christmas stuff was recorded before last year. Some of the stuff, I don't know. Some of the stuff, all these projects are all meshed together in my head. I forget when I did everything, but I would go into the studio and it was either Christmas or Standards today. So, and then we would just go from there.
You put out an old-fashioned Christmas, a deluxe version of that. I think that came out in 2019. And we've certainly played a lot of that. And we're playing the new songs too. For anybody who doesn't know, what would you say the difference between the new EP and an old-fashioned Christmas? What are the differences between the two?
So old-fashioned Christmas was just like how I grew up, where someone would be behind the piano and you would just sing along to the Christmas carols or classic Christmas songs, and you would have your sleigh bells and piano accompaniment, and you would just sing along as a group. And that was always fun. That's what was the theme for that one. I was able to record that one with a pianist in the studio, so that was cool. And that was by a few different pianists. And I started that one, I think it was like 2017, 2018, did a couple singles, and then the next year did a little more, and then a little more after that, we added to it. And that was a really fun album, and it became really popular with people that enjoy my music. And then as well as the new one, I wanted to do more. I wanted to do some big band. I wanted to get some big band musicians and put more production into it, just make it more elaborate, just go a little different. And I was able to put some big band songs and some jazz combos where we did the rhythm section, which is piano, upright bass drums, and saxophone. So that was cool. They have a few tracks like that. As well as, since my percussion background, I did a few songs where it was just percussion. So I think the Little Drummer Boy was really cool. That was a lot of like concert bass drum. You got the snare drum, you got like triangle, etc. And then on Mistletoe and Holly, we had a xylophone and some other percussion instruments. I think it was timpani as well. Not sure if everybody knows what a timpani is, but those are like big kettle copper drums that are tuned specific notes.
With the Little Drummer Boy, since I also have a percussion background, it's always been a pet peeve of mine that people will send me versions of this song, and they're very pretty and beautiful, and they're a cappella, and I just feel like you're missing the point. It's a little drummer boy. He wanted to play his drum. There should be drums in it. How can you do that and not have drums in it?
Yeah, so the little drummer boy really dominant on the snare drum, and really that's really up in front. And the percussionist I found to play those parts was really great. And he was a kid out of Italy, and he's really super talented. And that song I'm actually dedicating to my father because he was a drummer. So I had that in mind when I recorded that.
The new EP is just simply called Christmas, and it's a great mix of songs that you have on here. Little Drummer Boy that we mentioned, Holly Jolly Christmas, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm, It's a Marshmallow World, and Mistletoe and Holly. And it's a terrific mix of songs, some upbeat toe tapper, some more slow and majestic. Did you just have a big list of songs that you wanted to record, or these favorites?
I like to switch it up. I don't want every song to sound the same. I want different moods. And I wish I could add a little more carols to that one. I had some, but they just weren't ready to go. So in the next one, I'm probably going to have a few more carols, maybe another jazz combo, another big band, etc. It's the songs that I enjoyed and that my parents loved, and what I grew up listening to when I was younger. I just, the holiday spirit in my family, my mom was really big in the Christmas. She was so huge in the Christmas that she kept the Christmas tree up all year long. It didn't go away. It was still in the corner of the house. Even if it didn't have any instruments, it was still set up, and there were still, she was also into teddy bears too, but so there were like teddy bears everywhere and then some Christmas stuff. Yeah. So that was always fun.
So we're marching through December, and the Christmas EP is now out. You have any, I know it's still hard for performers to actually get out there and do shows. Do you have any shows coming up, Christmas shows or otherwise?
Actually, I have a Christmas show coming up in California. That's a dinner. It's going to be a big Christmas dinner show with another incredibly talented singer. So I'm excited about that. And I'm doing a lot of traveling. So I'm going to Arizona to do some more shows. Just a lot of private events. I keep so busy with people just wanting me for their private events that I rarely do a public event, but doing a big dinner show, and that's going to be a public event. That's already sold out. I'm excited about that. And just getting out there, singing some of the songs. I've already done a few gigs where I was able to sing some of the new songs, and that was really fun. And that was really great because I was in Anaheim, in California, and a big group of ladies, it was like their special, get together that they do every year. And I was able to bring them up and interact with them and have them sing along. Or I got one lady to play the sleigh bells. Or get up and dance. It was just a lot of fun. So I like to interact with the crowd, and it's fun to be able to get back out there and do that again.
I know that you posted recently on your YouTube channel a video for Jingle Bells. Are there more Christmas videos planned, or any performance videos that you're planning to post there?
That's good that you brought that up. Yes, I'm gonna be, even though I might stop recording, take a break from recording after next year, I do want to do more videos with music I've already released. But I want to get back out there and do some originals. So I have some original ideas for Christmas song and, a standard jazz tune that are on paper that are still getting some kinks and working on the music with another performer. And I'm hoping to get that out there and do some videos and get some videos out there. I think that, I'm a little behind on what's going on. Everybody has a video out. I'm like, I got to get back out there. I got to do some videos. Everybody's doing it.
I think especially considering that it's the time of year that it is, I think a lot of us are behind on everything. It's just the nature of things. For the Christmas album that you're going to finish up next year, you mentioned an original that you're hoping to include an original song?
Yes. I don't want to give too much away because things are still being worked out, like the title and some of the lyrics. But yes, I'm really excited. And I've been asked for so many years, hey, do you have any original music? And, you know, I would always just, oh, I just cover the standards and try to keep that music alive for future generations. And, but now I'm getting to the point where I'm, you know, getting a little older, and I want to have something original out there that I could, you know, pass on and for other people to enjoy.
It's almost like it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? To add something to the canon of Christmas music is exciting to do, especially if you love that music. And it's got to be a little daunting too, because there's so much great stuff and you know comparisons are going to be made. It's got to be a tricky line to walk.
Yeah, that's why the song that I want to do is, it's going to be something, it's not just any holiday song. It's going to have some meaning behind it and a story and something that is close to the heart that, you know, if nobody likes it, it doesn't matter. As long as I like it and enjoy it, that's all I'll care about. So
that's a great attitude to have, and that's tough in a business where it feels like you're constantly being judged. It's so great when artists decide, you know, get to that point where they're like, you know what, I love what I'm doing, and that's the reason that I'm doing it, and I hope you like it, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, when I first started, you know, I would always like, I want everybody to like me, you know, but now I know that everybody doesn't like what you do, and, you know, they might appreciate it or they just don't care for it, but it doesn't bother me. You know, I know that a lot of people do appreciate what I do, and that I get out there and keep singing this type of music, and it does bring back memories, because music triggers memories. And I always hear, they always tell me their stories, and, or they'll share something about their musical background or how this song affected their lives. And they, you know, and some people cry, some people are, I've had ladies cry back in the day. I had lady people cry, and because it would trigger a memory of a loved one or someone they lost. And they just really appreciated that song and the music. And so that's very touching, and it makes me feel good, and that I, you know, can continue doing this for a living and just keeping this music alive.
Yeah, one of the things that I love about running the Sounds of Christmas radio station is that I do get that feeling that I am keeping a lot of music going that otherwise wouldn't have a home anywhere anymore. Whether it's an older song or whether it's a song by a relatively new artist that it's hard for somebody new to break in because of the way traditional radio operates. You know, I have a friend who has 7 or 8 Christmas EPs that they've done over the course of the last decade. And they were very excited because there was a station in New York that was adding one of their songs. And that station only added 5 songs that particular year, 5 new songs. And I know I get almost 1,000 songs sent to me every year. And I can't imagine adding only 5, because there's just so much music that comes out, and there's so much that's worth sharing. And that's one of the things that I love about your old-fashioned Christmas album and the new EP. I think these are terrific versions of songs that a lot of people know, and it's worth sharing, and it's a great way to share the Christmas spirit and keep these songs alive. And it's great to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I appreciate being on your platform and what you do, and having the Sounds of Christmas out there, where you're featuring artists that wouldn't really get that kind of radio airplay or a chance. And I was, you know, my kids like listening to your station, and we have that on. I'm streaming it through my phone in the truck, and, you know, they're singing along. But I've noticed different artists, and I'm like, I love this version, or how they did this. And I appreciate you, you know, introducing those type of new artists to, you know, to the world.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the kind words. And I didn't want to turn this all around to being all about me, but I certainly appreciate it. So the Christmas album next year, I don't want you to feel like you have to give too much away, but any idea ballpark on how many more songs are coming, or anything that you do want to share about it?
At least another 6 or 7, you know, at least just fill it, just double what it is right now. Like, there's no, you know, there's no music, there's no money in making music, really, unless you're a big time artist with a big label. I enjoy what I do. I don't do this for making money, because, you know, you don't make a lot of money. but I love it and I'll continue to keep doing it. And as far as the album, I'm just happy that I was able to get it out there in time. I know we were coming neck and neck, and I was like, oh, it's already end of October and the album's not out yet. But I'm so excited that we were able to, you know, get to the finish line and get it out and release it. And now I'm just trying to get it heard by as many people as possible and share it with their family and friends. And I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
Yeah, I very much. I like it very much. And I would encourage if you're listening and your thing is making playlists for the holidays, these are great songs to add in there. They'll fit into any kind of Christmas playlist that you've got. The new Christmas EP from Michael Sinatra or tracks from An Old Fashioned Christmas. You had so much new music that came out this year, and it's been very fun and very interesting to be able to do this kind of behind the scenes, behind the music sort of thing, following along, because I don't think people really get how much it takes to create a Christmas record, to put together a new Christmas album. When we started talking about this last spring, and you had lots of ideas on paper, and you had started, you know, going through arrangements, and you were starting to see the shape of it, but it was really fascinating to follow along and to get to the point where, you know, okay, well, you have 7 songs and you didn't quite get where you wanted to go, but everybody could see what it took to get there. And I think that was just really, really interesting to be able to be on the inside and follow along. And I hope we can continue to do that in 2022 as, you know, if it's not too intrusive, as the new album takes shape.
Oh, of course. No, I'm it'd be my pleasure. Look, I'm really critical. I'm sure a lot of people are of what their work is. And after something's done, you're like, oh, I should, you know, you listen to a song over and over again. You're like, oh, I could have done this, or I could have added this. And, you know, it's hard because that's how I felt on a few songs. Like, oh, I should have went and did this. And why didn't I think of that then? It's hard when you're working on something and just the planning. But that's why, you know, I might get a chance to maybe remix or add some stuff on some of the tracks that are out right now on the deluxe edition. So, but you're right. The process, you know, sometimes it can be straining because you're like, oh, I don't want to think about Christmas. It's only like March, you know. It's hard to get into the spirit. That's why you have to do something and you have to tell yourself, why are you doing this? Why do you want to do this? You know, you have to motivate. You pretty much have to motivate yourself. And my motivation mainly for this album, because, you know, my parents passed. And so I was just wanted to honor them and dedicate this album to them in their memory. And so that was my motivation behind this album and finishing the complete album for next year.
With doing so much music this year, I would think that it had to be a bit of a challenge, at least, to be going in the studio and, okay, am I doing Mistletoe and Holly today, or am I doing Fly Me to the Moon? Because it's, you know, maybe similar era, but very different, because you need to be able to pull off the Christmas songs, you kind of need that, you need a little bit of that spirit to make it feel right and believe it. And you know, like you're saying, it's hard to come up with that in March.
Yeah. Fly Me to the Moon. Well, that's my most, I think that's my most streamed song is Fly Me to the Moon. That's like my most popular song. My most popular album is An Old Fashioned Christmas Deluxe. That is the most streamed album that I've had, which is probably thanks to you. But yeah, I enjoy it. And you're right. It can be hard to switch gears and fly me to the moon. And then you're like, whoa, the weather outside is frightful. You know, it's you know, you just got to smile and you just have to get in the spirit. Cause like I said before, you can hear it if you're not in it. You know, you can hear it if you're just phoning it in, or if you actually feeling what you're singing.
Yeah. I'll get albums from artists and I'm not going to name any names and I'm not picking on anybody, but I'll get some and you can sort of, and you can just tell when you listen to them and you can just tell, okay, they're not adding anything new to this. They're just sort of knocking it out and going to the next one. And they are, you can tell when somebody's phoning it in, and you listen to like Marshmallow World on the new one, and you can almost hear you smiling when you're singing that.
That's good. If you can pick that up, then I'm happy and I'm excited that you caught that. But as for that, I've done takes where I thought it was good, and then my like producer, engineer, mix master guy, Orlando, California, he's like, you know what? I know you could do it better. Why don't you do it again? Why don't we roll it through again? I'm like, because it can be hard, you know, doing take after take, and I don't really like doing too many takes. If I maybe do two or three and I'm like, hey, stop, we're just gonna skip, we'll just skip and we'll just move to a different song, because I don't want to wear this song down over and over, because I'll lose the excitement, you know.
You know, a lot of people have seen the Beatles documentary on Disney Plus, the Get Back, and you see the sessions where they're doing some of these songs that we all know, and they're doing them over and over and over and over again. And I think before you got to see that, most people have no idea. They think that, you know, that you go in and you sing, it's the most wonderful time of the year, boom, done, what's next? And it's not like that at all. You go through it and you sing it and you think it's good. And then the guy in the booth goes, all right, let's try that again. And more feeling this time, you know, or something like that. And, you know, now that you see the Beatles doing it, and the, you know, and if it's a huge successful group like the Beatles that have to do it over and over and over, obviously everybody does.
Look, they're the Beatles. Even if they mess up, they're still the best.
Right.
Don't spoil it. I haven't seen that yet. I'm just kidding. I've seen a lot of promos, but yeah, is the first and second part out already, or
all three?
I'm behind on my Apple
TV. All three are streaming, and I don't want to turn this into a Beatles review, but I'm a huge fan and I loved it. It's
I know you are.
it's a great fly in the wall kind of thing to watch them as they're going through and making these songs, and you know, and everything is
my book.
Yeah, it's everything isn't perfect, but it's the Beatles, and you see them, and you know, and you can see the germ of an idea and how it becomes the song Get Back, and it's fascinating. And you know, to a degree, that's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast with you, so that people could sort of follow along and see what it takes to make a Christmas album in 2021. It's not the same as what the Beatles were doing in 1969, obviously. And I think it's been very interesting to be able to follow along from when you have stuff on paper and you're talking about what you're going to do, and you get into the recording and mixing of it. And like you said, and then it's October and it's not out yet and it's not ready yet. And this is what we've got, because a lot has to go into it, and you still manage to come out with an EP of seven songs. And you're going to give us almost twice as many. Well, you're going to give us that number again. So there'll be almost twice as many in an album next year.
But look, to all credit, I'm like just part of one big, you know, ensemble of people who put this together, and some little, you know, I give all the credit to all the musicians and everybody who was involved in this album. They worked really hard. You know, I'm along for the ride and excited to be here, but I got to give them all the props, you know.
And then the other thing that I thought was really very interesting in following you along on this journey is that with the first Christmas album, as you were talking about, it was a more intimate kind of scaled down you and a pianist and maybe bass, maybe percussion, but kind of small. And this is so much bigger. And because of the pandemic, you have to connect with people to get them to record their parts and put the pieces together. And it works. And it's really a fun listen. And it is it's a bigger, it's just bigger than the other, you know, not to slight the other songs because it's different, but it is, you get that big sound, from having this big band.
Correct. Yeah. If you're like, you know, you're having these musicians, you know, record stems and of each instrument, and they're sending it to you. And especially when you're not, like, I'm not verbally communicating with these people. I'm just messaging through, you know, the internet and trying to communicate what I want. And there, you know, some of them, sometimes there's a language barrier, but I'm able to get across. And when I get it back, I'm like, wow, this is even better than I thought, you know. And I would just, they'll send me different options, and I'll just, like, you know, if I, what I like, what I don't like, but they're all good. And I just want to use them all, but I can't, you know. It's hard to choose what version of what solo or what take I like, and I'll just leave it up to another guy to do that. I don't want to pick, you know, but you're right. The first album, you know, everything was done in studio and together. And the second one, it was all done online and just put together. And, you know, right, it's a little different feel. I would always have the rhythm section done first, and then I would do a take, and then I would, you know, then I would send that out to the musicians to add more layers and then layers. But, you know, having like 20 to 30 stems on an album that has to be mixed, that's a lot of work, you know?
Yeah. Were there songs that you wanted to do, not the ones that you're still going to do, but were there other Christmas songs that you wanted to do that it just not going to happen this time around?
I mean, like that I am going to do, or that I would like to do in the future?
That maybe that you'd like to do in the future that just for whatever reason, it's not going to work out for this album.
Well, I would love to do some of these, you know, cool, classic 80s Christmas songs, but, you know, it's not really my genre. But who wouldn't love to do a version of George Michael's, you know, Last Christmas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or some other stuff like that. I would like to do some cool 80s stuff. I'm dabbling in with coming out with a jazzy version of some 80s tunes. That I'm an 80s kid, and I always enjoy that kind of music. So I'm dabbing and maybe doing something like that in the future.
I know we've been all over the place talking about the Standards album and the Christmas stuff. I hate to even ask, is there anything else that you've got on your agenda, or is this really enough and you're ready for a break?
Well, you know, I got to finish the Standards 2 album, which is hopefully going to come out January, February, and then finish the Christmas Deluxe. And I don't know where I'm going to get time to do anything else, but hopefully get, you know, work on a video or two and just get out there and, you know, perform. Because that's where, look, recording is a different monster than performing live. You know, it's a whole different process. It's not the same. It's different technique. Performing live, you're feeling off the energy of the crowd. You might sing the songs differently or approach them differently than you would in a studio. You know, so they're not going to always sound the same as you recorded them.
Right. What's the best way for people to keep track of you? Is social media, is it through your website, through YouTube?
Look, I'm really bad at social media. I'm always told you got to do more posting. You got to have more Instagram. You have the more of this. What I like to do is steer everybody to my main website, michaelsinatra.com, where you can find anything about me. I always update that. I do that myself. And from there, you can go to whatever platform you would listen or get your music, and you can find me anywhere. Or you can just search Michael Sinatra, and there I'll be.
On your website, you have tour info when you're doing shows, so people can find out if you're anywhere near them or if they're going to be out anywhere near you, where they can find you.
I don't have that page up yet, but I do have something maybe coming up, a few things next year that I will promote, and I will promote them on a few different platforms, as well as Twitter or Instagram and my main website. So I'll definitely get that out there. But mainly, I just want to push everybody to listening to the music, add it to your playlist, share it with a friend or family member. I just want people to hear the music. That's all I want to focus on right now.
Well, you can find the new EP is called Christmas, and the previous Christmas album, An Old Fashioned Christmas. You can find both of those really everywhere. Everywhere that you listen, you stream, you download music, it's all over the place. Anything else you want anybody to know about any of the projects you're working on?
No, I just want to wish everybody, their family and friends, a very merry holiday season, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. And just, you know, have a good time and enjoy your family.
Very nice. I look forward to talking to you again in the spring when you start working on the rest of the Christmas album. And in the meantime, I hope you and yours have a wonderful holiday and a Happy New Year. Thanks for spending so much time with us in 2021.
Ken, thank you and everything you do and for your time. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
And thank you for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening to this now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And the website again is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.